The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
You're just feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah, well, if I didn't, nobody else would.
Oh, you're breaking my heart.
Sporto?
What?
You get along with your parents?
Well, if I say yes, I'm an idiot, right?
You're an idiot anyway. But if you say you get along with your parents, well, you're a liar, too.
You know something, man? If we weren't in school right now, I'd waste you.
Can you hear this? You want me to turn it up?
I don't like my parents either. I mean, I don't get along with them. I mean, their idea of, you know, parental compassion is just, you know, wacko, you know?
That clip is taken from a series of movies called The Brat Pack Club, which were in the 80s, and that was called Breakfast Club. The reason we're playing that is that I've been joined by Dee Reddy, formerly of this parish, Puddle podcaster and pop culture commentator. And there's a new welcome.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
And tell me, first of all, the reason we're doing this and you've put this sort of collection about the Brat Pack together is that there's a new documentary coming out.
Yeah, it's fantastic, Ivan. So it's called Brats, and it's actually directed and created by Andrew McCarthy, who was a key part of the Brat Pack, who were these kind of, they were seen as sort of the wild children of Hollywood back in the 1980s. And it all stems from a 1985 New York Magazine article that a writer called David Bloom wrote. He was basically sent to profile Emilio Estevez, who was in St. Elmo's Fire and also in The Breakfast Club, which people just heard a clip from there, and saw that, like, not only did Emilio Estevez, just on the basis of his face, manage to get in free to watch a movie, but that himself, Rob Lowe and Judd Nelson, two other actors from that crew, were absolutely mobbed by fans at the Hard Rock Cafe. And so he termed this phrase to define that group of actors as the Brat Pack, obviously harking back to the Rat Pack, which was a well-known group of pals like Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin. And the idea was that they were a group of pals, but also collaborators. They starred in a lot of movies together. So the Breakfast Club, which was a John Hughes classic written in a couple of days, came out in 1985. And the movie that sparked actually that article, that was part of the press for that article, was St. Elmo's Fire, which also came out in 1985. So to say that this group of actors had a stranglehold on pop culture and teen pop culture in that era is absolutely the truth.
So to define the Brat Pack, were they rom-coms, boy meets girl? Were they coming of age? How would you describe this genre? Like, I know it was a moment in time, it's a decade of the 80s. What type of films were they?
I think you've just defined it really well there, Ivan. It was a mix.
Well, I can read.
Yeah, well done. It was a mix of all those genres. So what you have is there's a lot of sort of teen focused movies, even though these actors were in their 20s, by and large, some of them were a bit younger. You've a lot of sort of teen high school movies, which were hugely popular in that era.
So the usual stuff, vulnerability, insecurity.
Yeah, coming of age, people getting to know themselves.
Snowflake stuff. That's snowflakes in the 80s.
I mean, arguably when they were created. but people getting to know themselves, people understanding, and, you know, bearing in mind the political situation in the States at the time of, like, you've got the Reagan era, and this is sort of the youth kind of responding to that and responding to the sort of post-hippie expectations of being a teenager in that time. So it's really interesting. There's eight performers that are generally considered to make it up. So you've got Ali Sheedy, Andrew McCarthy, who directed this movie that we're talking about, Anthony Michael Hall, Demi Moore.
Oh, Demi Moore.
Yeah, I know her,
all right.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Emilio Estevez.
She was good looking in her day now.
I mean, she's still a beautiful woman. Emilio Estevez, who was also a good looking man, it must be said. Let's even it out. Judd Nelson, Molly Ringwald, and Rob Lowe.
Yeah, but I said to people, who's Rob Lowe? I said, is he entering the jockey Johnny Lowe? And, like, they all looked at me in the office as if I have two heads. Everyone seemed to know Rob Lowe.
Absolutely. He was a huge star in the 80s. And he was in The West Wing as well later on. So,
okay, yeah. You alluded to St. Elmo's Fire. We have a clip, but just tell me a bit about St. Elmo's Fire.
St. Elmo's Fire. So this is a funny one because this is those actors trying to be, they would have been largely known for teen films. As I said, this is them trying to be known as serious, dramatic actors in a dramatic adult film. It doesn't really land, but it's kind of important in the discussion of the Brat Pack. It does. It is actually just a lot of people being very sad and feeling sorry for themselves.
We have a clip.
Alec. I gave him a key.
Okay, Kevin, I'm only gonna ask you this once. Did you tell Leslie about my screwing around?
No.
I believe you, Kevin. I want you to know that I believe you, and I'm sorry I hit you.
Kevin.
I don't think that I am ever gonna be able to get Leslie back.
Buddy, I kinda got some company.
Oh, jeez. I'm sorry,
So that's St. Elmo's Fire.
It's like, worth knowing that the woman he's talking about is in bed with the man he's talking to as he's saying it in the other room.
All right.
So yeah, no, the movie is very much, it sort of defines the era in terms
Did they win Oscars and all the gongs of the time or
not?
Do you
know what?
Or were they box office successes?
They were box office successes, but they weren't necessary. Like the teen ones probably did a bit better, but when they tried to do the more adult stuff, and kind of because of the sort of, the conversations then that happened around them and the Brat Pack, like Emilio Estevez has said that definition kind of ruined his career because people didn't really take them seriously as actors. They kind of saw them as being part of just this messy group of pals who were more movie stars than
serious actors. It diminished them somewhat.
It did. It was very diminishing for them.
So we have another one, Pretty in Pink. Give us the storyline here.
This one is, I used to love this film as a kid. It's 1986. It's mainly Molly Ringwald. Like, she's the main star of it. You've also got Andrew McCarthy in it. And then some other people that are sort of adjacent to the Brat Pack, like James Spader, for example. And it's and John Cryer, too. It's a lovely, lovely film. And it maybe holds up a little bit better than some of, it's another John Hughes one. So John Hughes was just on a spate of writing movies that did really well. There's another Molly Ringwald film that he wrote called 16 Candles, and it's a disaster if you watch it today in terms of some of the jokes that made in the storyline. Pretty in Pink holds up a little bit better, and it's just, it really is the kind of defines that thing of a teenage girl and that moment in time being so important in your life when obviously it's not necessarily, but it's iconic in that regard.
Okay, take a listen to Pretty in Pink.
Did you say that you went to your prom?
Yeah, sure.
Was it terrible?
It was the worst. But it's supposed to be, you know? I mean, but you have to go, right?
Well, you don't have to. I mean, it's not a requirement.
I have this girlfriend who didn't go to hers, and every once in a while she gets this really terrible feeling, you know, like something is missing. She checks her purse and she checks her keys, she counts her kids, she goes crazy, and then she realizes that nothing is missing. She decided it was side effects from skipping the prom.
I don't know. I mean, part of me says just go and get it over with, and this other part of me says it's a stupid tradition, and what's the point?
Well, you know, you could say that life itself is a stupid tradition. Don't analyze it. Just go.
And tell me, these Brat Pack films, are they formulaic insofar as do they get together at the end? Do they have a happy ending?
Not always, actually. No, I don't. It's probably not. That wouldn't necessarily be a fair summation of them, I don't think. Like, it's more about the moment and timeness of it and capturing sort of whatever was the zeitgeist of that sort of mid-80s era. As opposed to them following any strict formula.
Okay.
Because in some of them,
the way a rom-com always has a happy ending.
No, and like, you know, it depends on what your perspective is going into the movie and which character maybe you see yourself as to whether they have the happy ending.
We have a couple more to sort of review. The Outsiders.
Yeah, this, funnily enough, is a bit of an outsider in the list. It's a little bit earlier. It's 1983. And it I guess it's a little bit more hard-hitting. It's actually directed by Francis Ford Coppola. It's filled with recognisable faces beyond just the Brat Pack. So you've got Matt Dillon, you've got Patrick Swayze and Tom Cruise, as well as Rob Lowe and Emilio Estevez. And it really kind of takes that sort of what we would see now as the teen film and treats it as a quite serious, dramatic vehicle. The kind of storyline is that it's set in an Oklahoma high school. You've got these working class kids and these sort of rich Southside kids. That sort of class disparity is also a theme actually in Pretty in Pink in quite a big way. Very, very differently dealt with in The Outsiders, though, because a skirmish actually leads to bloodshed, and the working class kids basically go on the run, and it's quite a tragic film, and he really kind of takes sort of inspiration from a like previous era in Hollywood in terms of how it's shot. I would say if you're going to watch any of them in terms of the performances and everything, and maybe as an adult viewer, if you haven't watched these growing up, I think a lot of us who've seen them as a kid or as a teenager, you bring a certain amount of nostalgia to them when you watch them
about
now.
About your own life and what you're going through.
Exactly. And so this is the one I think if anybody hasn't watched or is curious about what's this Brat Pack thing about and they've watched the documentary that's come out, that would be the one I would say maybe holds up a little bit better in terms of the performances and the story.
Just one more about last night.
This is a great one. This is 1986. It's from a great filmmaker, actually, Edward Zwick. And it's based on a David Mamet play. But you see these characters who maybe you'd gotten to know as teenagers or playing teenagers as adults and trying to navigate sort of love lives and romantic entanglements as adults. And it's quite funny. It's really underappreciated, I think, in my opinion. And it's another one that I think, you know, coming at it with adult eyes and maybe not wanting to be embarrassed by how, you know, overly dramatic some teen films can be, that'd be another great one to watch if you wanted to check it all out.
Well, I have to tell you, just when you said nostalgia, 1981, I was elected the youngest TD. I was working my arse off to hold an unholdable seat. There was three general elections in a row, 87. I was out every night of the week and I missed the whole Brat Pack culture.
Maybe you were forming your own Brat Pack.
I don't know. D-Ready, podcaster, the Puddle podcaster and pop culture commentator, taking us through the Brat Pack films. Coming up later...
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.